Let's turn to the Word of God today. Psalm 73 is our text. Psalm 73. Title of the message is Entering the Sanctuary. Entering the Sanctuary. A Psalm of Asaph. Psalm 73. Here is the Word of the Lord. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are heavy and healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued with human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts come iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, "How would God know? Does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have suffered. I have been afflicted. And every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you placed them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They're like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to look into your word. Give us a word this morning of how we can enter the sanctuary daily, weekly as we gather in community. And how through those times in your presence, you can change our perspectives from human perspectives to eternal perspectives, eliciting the worship that you deserve from your created beings, your children. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts this morning be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Question, think about a time when your perspective was off. Think about a time when your perspective was off. I have a few fun images. Okay? Here's another one. Sometimes when your perspective is off, small things can look much bigger than they really are. Huh? Yeah? How about this? There's a guy dunking the moon. How about this one? It's a lady licking the Tower of Pisa on her ice cream cone. Other times when your perspective is off, big things can also look much smaller than they really are. These images reminded me of another image. Anyone know who that is? Anyone on Facebook land? That's our brother Tim. Tim Saw. Huh? That's his cover photo on Facebook. Just reminded me of that. I miss Tim. Tim, if by chance you're listening, we miss you, Naomi, Jin, and Sarah. I hope you are well. When your perspective is off, small things can look much bigger than they really are, and big things can look much smaller than they really are. I would contend this is also true in our spiritual lives. When our spiritual perspectives are off, small problems, small issues in our lives can look much bigger than they really are. And conversely, the one big thing in all of our lives, namely God, God can look much smaller than he really is. He can look to be way in the distance, out of focus, almost out of sight at times when our spiritual perspectives are off. So then what do we do when we realize that our spiritual perspectives are off? How do we go about correcting our incorrect perspectives? Well, this morning I'd like to invite you to join me on a journey through Psalm 73. Psalm 73, written by a man named Asaph. A shout out to Asaph 1, who's upstairs, but named after this man in the Bible. He was a mature, godly man who served as a worship leader at the temple in Jerusalem. He's the author of actually 12 Psalms in our Bible. Yet, in spite of all this, being a godly, mature man of God, something happened in his life that almost caused him to fall. We'll read that again in verse 2. And this event momentarily skewed his perspective. And he almost walked away from God, seemingly because his perception of reality and his perception of God was off. And at some point in all of our lives, all of us lose the correct perspective. And this is where the journey of Asaph instructs me and encourages me. It is the journey of a man who knows and loves God, but he had to find his way back to God after he had briefly lost sight of him. I believe Asaph's journey would instruct us on how we can find our way back to God when we find ourselves mired in incorrect perspectives. This psalm, as many psalms, is very personal, gut-wrenching honesty, which is what I love about the psalms. Just pure agony and clinging to God. Asaph asks the question many of us, I'm sure, have asked at one time or another. If God is truly good, why do we believers struggle with health, finances, relational turmoil, while unbelievers around us seem to enjoy prosperity? Or we could ask it this way: why are the wicked successful while the righteous suffer? We're going to go on a journey with Asaph and try to answer that question. Act 1, there's 5 acts, is the statement of faith. Statement of faith, a declaration of faith. Verse 1 says in your Bibles, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart." Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. We'll stop there. Just one verse, but already so important. Asaph is about to get very real with his struggles. Actually, for the next 15 verses, he's about to catalog all of his spiritual struggles at length. But remember, Asaph knows God and loves God. And because he knows and loves God, he begins with a declaration, a statement of faith, in a position of belief. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Asaph begins with what he knows to be true, even if he doesn't feel it to be true in the moment. Asaph begins with what he knows to be true, even if he doesn't feel it in the moment. I think this is so important for our lives as Christians. When we don't feel something to be true, then we have to make a statement, a declaration of faith, and choose to believe what we know, not what we feel. I believe there's power in declaring something you know to be true, especially when you don't feel anything, which frankly is most of our Christian lives, is it not? Do we wake up most Sunday mornings, yay, let's go to church? We don't feel that, most of us. Sometimes we do, but most of the times we're dragging ourselves and our children and putting them into the car. And why do we do that? Because we are choosing to believe that we know this is good for us to be in the presence of God, in the presence of community. It's for our good and His glory. And you see these statements of faith all over the Bible. Remember Psalm 13, the Psalm of David. David questions God while mired in his own struggles. How long, O Lord? He points to God with these questions. But in the end, he resolves to praise. Verse 5, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. That is a resolve, a declaration to praise. It's the same declaration I see in the New Testament in the father of the demon-possessed boy in Mark chapter 9. When the father declares, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe. There it is. The resolve to believe and declare a statement of faith. In spite of real questions that he has, help me overcome my unbelief. It is a declaration of faith in a position of belief. And that's how Asaph starts his journey this morning. In our own lives, in the midst of struggles and questions and lack of correct perspective at times, it is so important that we declare the truth that we know when we cannot feel it to be true. Pastor Colin Smith of the Orchard has said this. He said, your heart is a follower. It's not a leader. Your heart will follow whatever grips your mind. Whatever grips your mind controls your heart. And when your heart doesn't feel, you have to declare the truth that you know so that your heart can follow. Your heart is not a leader. It is a follower. It will follow the truth that controls your mind. Asaph begins his journey back to God with this. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Shall we begin this morning with our own declaration of faith right now? I'll say something, you say something back if you agree. Ready? God is good all the time. Amen. I heard you. Thank you. Let's go on in Asaph's journey. Act 2 is human perspective. We have no record of what actually happened to Asaph, but something happened to Asaph, as noted in verse 2. Verse 2, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. And whatever happened to Asaph, it caused him to spiral downwards, leading to no less than 15 verses of him envying the world. Verse 3, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And we see in these 15 verses that Asaph was mired in human perspective after having almost slipped, nearly losing his foothold. And what he saw around him in that state fills him with envy. Asaph saw the prosperity and peace of the wicked. Verse 4, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. This, of course, is not true in reality, but it is nonetheless what Asaph was feeling in the state that he was in. While he himself was marred in some kind of struggle, it seemed to him that everyone around him, those who didn't even know God or love God, were doing just fine. I wonder if you've ever felt that way when you were mired in struggles. Asaph also saw the pride of the wicked. Verse 11. Verse 11 says, they say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Asaph points to pride and even to the defiance of these unbelievers towards God. And he can't believe that they are still able to live carefree, amassing more and more wealth. And he is filled with envy. And finally, Asaph felt the self-pity of the righteous. The self-pity of the righteous. Verse 13, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. Asaph is in a bad state. And the end result of being consumed by this human perspective is captured well in verse 16. Verse 16, when I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. ESV, that verse says, it seemed to me a wearisome task. It seemed to me a wearisome task. In the end, trying to understand the world while mired in human perspective left Asaph deeply troubled and weary of soul. Can we all admit something this morning? All of us at some point in our lives have been where Asaph is, mired in human perspective, filled with envy, discontent, feeling self-pity, leading ultimately to weariness of soul. Maybe this is exactly where some of you are right now, going on almost 2 years into this COVID pandemic. Weariness seems to kind of capture our world right now, and maybe your state and my state. Yes, we know and we love God. You're here on Sunday morning. You're tuning in. But in some of our dark moments, we do sometimes feel sorry for ourselves. We do wonder if this fight as a Christian is even worth it. You know, I think back to the start of this pandemic. If you go back to March of last year, we were all quarantined in our houses. We were scared to even venture outside. Lois and I would go out for a brief walk and cross the street if someone came down with us because we thought we were going to all infect one another. Remember, it was a time of great fear. Suddenly, we were not able to go to work, go to school, go to church. We were just hunkered down in our houses. The whole world was united under one singular activity: doom scrolling. Yeah? Doom scrolling? Doom scrolling, in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, which of course I looked up, the word itself is defined in the context of COVID-19. Did you know that? The Merriam-Webster's dictionary here, doom scrolling and doom surfing are new terms referring to the tendency to continue to surf or scroll through bad news, even though that news is saddening, disheartening, or depressing. Many people are finding themselves reading continuously bad news about COVID-19 without the ability to stop or step back. Yeah? March of last year, we're like, what is going on? We're just at home. What are we going to do? I don't know about you, but any doom scrollers in the room? Anyone? You don't have to raise your hand, please. You don't have to do that. But I confess that for at least a few weeks, a month, all I was consumed with was how this thing was going. And I certainly have been guilty of this. And it mired me in human perspective. And sometimes I felt indistinguishable from non-believers. You know, I look back and I was so scared for myself and my family. I was doing everything to try to protect us not sure if we shed any light to people around it. We couldn't see them, first of all. We were just trying. It was just a weird place. Remember just last March? I mention this now because Psalm 73 was actually a very important chapter for me during those first months of the pandemic. And more on this later. More recently, though, I'll share about our family that we found, our family found ourselves mired in human perspective in another way. As we found ourselves having to find new health insurance for our family, yeah, I'll just share about our family. After I got off my former employer, Wheaton College's group insurance plan, okay, I'm talking adult stuff now, you know, the discounted group insurance that I've had for most all of my adult life. You know, it is truly a strange thing. I'll just say one thing, that in the richest country in the world, that good, affordable health care is tied to those who are employed by large institutions, organizations. That is a strange thing. This otherwise political issue became a reality for our family as I came off of Wheaton College's insurance, and we had to search for new insurance as not tied to our employment. And I would be lying if I didn't say in those first months or so earlier this year that I wasn't filled with envy like Asaph. Envious of those with real jobs and good health insurance that I took for granted for 24 years of my life as I was working. Now, don't be depressed or worried. Many months later, God has really provided us for our family in so many ways with great new doctors that we just believe is from God, and also our therapists for Selah who are willing to work with any insurance plan that we bring to them. And so we give praise to God for providing, always providing for our family, but it is still a daily battle to not fall into this human perspective. How about you? How about your life? As you think about your life now, are some of you mired in human perspective in some way? Is your perspective off, maybe, so that the problem before you is blocking your view of God? Well, if this is you, you're not alone. Asaph was mired in human perspective, just like we are at times, but his journey continues. Let's keep reading. Act 3, a turning point. There's a dramatic turning point in this chapter, and it's verse 17. I'll start reading in verse 16. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. Till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Here in verse 17, we come to Asaph's turning point in his journey. It's a dramatic turning point. It's D-Day in World War II. It's the Incheon landing in the Korean War. It's a dramatic turn in his journey. And question, what is it in verse 17 that changes everything for Asaph? What is it that allows Asaph now to make this dramatic turn for the rest of this psalm? Well, it's the same thing that will transform our perspective from human perspective to eternal perspective. And it is worship. Worship. Our perspective is corrected. It is transformed when we enter the sanctuary of God in worship. Amen? Verse 17 is the hinge point of the psalm. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. The Message paraphrase would say, I understood the whole picture. Entering the presence of God in worship is what lifts the fog of Asaph's vision. Not showing him anything new per se, but showing him what was there all along, which was God, his presence, his truth, his promises, his very being. Now, when we just look at the world with mere human eyes and we judge God according to our experiences, we will never have the whole picture. But everything is put into proper perspective when we go into the presence of God in worship. The prosperity of the wicked had filled up Asaph's vision. But this point, from this point to the end of the psalm, it is God himself, the God of the sanctuary, that becomes his focal point. So brothers and sisters, when was the last time you truly encountered God in worship? You truly encountered God in worship. When was the last time you encountered him in a way that changed your perspective on a problem before you, on life itself, on those problems and struggles that seem so big right in front of you? Now, going back to the early days of COVID last year, there was a turning point in my quarantine, my days of quarantine as well. The first few weeks, like I said, it was nonstop doom scrolling and seeing how bad it was really getting. I was barely reading the Bible or praying. Okay? I was barely reading the Bible or praying. Confession. And after a couple of weeks, we just weren't doing well. I decided to spend some time carving out a corner of my basement for myself. And I started waking up a little earlier than my family, before Joshua had to come down and log on to remote learning. Remember that? I tried to find some space and time for myself. And I started entering the sanctuary of God, trying to enter the sanctuary of God on my own in my basement. And that was a turning point for me. And it is here in these times that I discovered Maverick City worship. Okay? Maverick City is not paying me to promote them right now. I'm just giving a testimony. Maverick City Worship. A very ethnically diverse collection of worshipers who just happened to be putting out new music, new worship music at the time. And these people in these videos became my church. Every morning, they led me into the sanctuary of God in my basement. I couldn't meet with my church, so God brought the church to me. I felt like these guys were making music for me. Their songs became my morning anthems to God before I turned on any news or started doom scrolling. This naturally led me to open my Bible, to journal, respond to God in prayer for that day, every morning. In other words, I found a personal sanctuary to enter into his presence in my basement. And this is where I still meet with God every day. And if you need some new music, inspirational music, please. They brought me through 6 months in my basement. And Maverick City Worship also became even more important to me after the murder of George Floyd and the subsequent human perspectives that started creeping into my heart during that difficult time. The ethnic diversity that I saw in these worship videos, the sheer beauty of people of all colors and ethnicities, not divided, but united in worshiping Jesus, was exactly the picture I needed at that time. But that was during the quarantine. In Psalm 73, actually, when Asaph enters the sanctuary of God, I do not think he was walking into an empty, quiet sanctuary all alone. Actually, I think he was walking into the temple in Jerusalem where throngs of people were gathered to worship Yahweh, and he is entering this holy place to lead them in worship. In other words, what actually changes Asaph's perspective is not merely worship, but it is corporate worship in the sanctuary of God. Entering the presence of God with the people of God is what actually is the turning point in Asaph's journey. I also look back to last summer when we met at the Marriott Hotel. Remember that? It's a trip down memory lane here. We started meeting, I think, late August or September. And we met for a total of nine Sundays. I look back fondly to that time. I don't know if everyone has the same emotion. But that was the first time I was on staff. I came on staff in August, and then I was able to meet my church in person. So that was a very fond time for me. But, you know, when I look back at just the timeline of this pandemic for me, the fact that I had at least 9 weeks to see the people and to worship with my church together. And then we had to hunker down again. But then God brought us back here in the beginning of summer so that we could be together again, albeit socially distant and masked. You know, I truly thank God for providing me the community of worshipers that I needed just at the right times during this pandemic. And without these opportunities to be with you all, I'm not sure what kind of spiritual state I'd be in right now. And brothers and sisters, I plead, we need one another. Amen? We need one another. That's not just something to say. I truly believe this. Now more than ever, coming out of this pandemic, we need one another. We need to enter the sanctuary of God together in worship to remind us that we are not alone, that we walk together. We've been so isolated. Now we need to come together again. I know some of your situations are still dictating that you stay home and worship online. I totally respect that. I had a great conversation with one of you on the front lines. And you're not coming out because you're trying to love us and protect us. Praise God for your service. Thank you. But if you feel safe, let me just join Pastor Brian from a couple weeks ago, and you feel a little isolated, a little worn out and weary from this past year and a half, please come out. Just seeing each other, just reminding yourself that you are not alone, that we are in this together, will give you strength, will give you the perspective to carry on. Let us continually enter the sanctuary of God together as a spiritual family, as a spiritual community, so that God can transform and correct our human perspectives. Amen? Let's continue in Asaph's journey. Act 4 is eternal perspective, eternal perspective. Verse 18. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. This is what happens when you come into the sanctuary of God. Our human perspective gets replaced with eternal perspective, the correct perspective in light of the truth of God's word. Asaph now sees the ruin of the wicked in these verses. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. Asaph's reality is reframed as he's finally able to see that God has placed the wicked on slippery ground. And instead of jealousy and envy for the things that lost people have, Asaph is now filled with the holy horror about their final destiny according to God's word. Asaph also sees now the repentance and rewards of the righteous, Verse 21, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and arrogant, ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet, I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward, you will take me into glory. Asaph finally realizes that surely it is not in vain that he has kept his heart pure. Surely there is reward and glory in store for the righteous, not to mention purpose for this life on this earth. And entering the sanctuary of God in worship transformed Asaph's human perspective into eternal perspective, which leads us to the final act, which is worship. Worship. After Asaph enters the sanctuary of God and gains eternal perspective, his heart now begins to follow and to worship God. Hear Asaph's transformed words now in verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? Earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Earlier in verse 3, Asaph was envious of the world, of the prosperity of the wicked. But here, in verse 25, after entering the sanctuary of God, he declares, there is nothing I desire besides you. His envy is turned into worship as he enters the sanctuary of God. If Asaph's declaration of faith, his statement of faith in verse 1, was a statement of truth that he knew but couldn't feel, now, after entering the sanctuary of God into the presence of God, his heart and emotions follow. You see that? When we don't feel anything because of our life and our struggles and sins and incorrect perspectives, we gotta stand on truth, declare faith, enter the sanctuary, and let the feelings follow. Amen? And Asaph's last words in verse 27, those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you, but as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Brothers and sisters, I know that life has been tough. I'm afraid it may continue to be tough a while longer. I also know there's a million things that can take our eyes off of Jesus and get us mired in human perspective, be it our families, our health, our finances, our jobs, our relationships, even our own faith as we struggle to persevere. Here's my exhortation to all of us at RCC from Asaph in Psalm 73. Let us enter the sanctuary of God daily. And let us also enter the sanctuary of God together, weekly, as a church, so that our human perspective can turn into eternal perspective, so that our envy and our worry and our self-pity can turn into worship. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. So, Lord, we come just as we are because your people do that in the Bible. Thank you for the example of Asaph. In the example of Asaph, Lord, help us to declare and state our faith when we, especially when we don't feel it. Lord, help us to come and bring ourselves just as we are before you. But Lord, as we enter the sanctuary of God, Lord, would you change our perspectives? Remind us of the big thing of God in our lives. You have not moved. You are still sovereign and loving and good. Change our perspectives according to your word. And then, Lord, help us to respond in worship. Lord, help us to do this every day, every week as a community. Lord, so that we would be mature believers, growing in Christ, growing in worship, all the days of our lives that we get to live here. We thank you for this word instructing us this morning. Help us to live it out. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.